Well, tonight I think this is the last look I should be taking at Luke 1 and 2. This watershed of the ages that I've been speaking on for several months. I haven't finished with the subject, but it's the last time I think in Luke 1 and 2. And the text tonight, the passage tonight, is found in Luke chapter 2 and starting at verse 36 and reading to verse 38. So Luke 2, 36 to 38. Well, you're in for a treat tonight because you've got two preachers. You've got an old man and you've got an even older woman preaching. I don't know what you think about women preachers, but you're going to get a woman preacher tonight. Depends how you define preaching, but she's certainly going to preach. Anyway, let me just read it to you. Luke 2, verse 36. Remember, Jesus is there, the baby, in the arms of his mother and father there. Oh, Joseph, the so expected father, the thought father. Anyway, verse 36. And there was one Anna, here's the preacher, a prophetess. She spoke in the name of the Lord. There you are. A daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. There's a bit of complication about this. I'm not going to deal with it because it's not important. She was an old lady and she had been a widow for a long, long time. She was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years. It's a great age in those days. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. A remarkable old lady. Eh? And she coming in at that instant, what a remarkable coincidence, gave thanks likewise, compared to Simeon, unto the Lord. And here we go, and spake. She spoke. She talked. I would say she preached, depending how you define preaching. But in New Testament terms, she was a preacher. She served as she preached, she spoke to of him, of the baby, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem or Israel. Now that takes us back to Simeon. Just go back a bit to Simeon in verse 25. Remember, we read there about the people who were waiting for the consolation of Israel. Same thing. You see, what these people did, they read their Old Testament and they actually believed it. Would you believe a thing? They actually believed what they read in the Old Testament. Remarkable people. So when the prophets told them that God would send a Messiah, a great Redeemer, a great King, a great Deliverer for Israel, they actually believed it. And they were looking for it and longing for it. They found the same in the law, you know. Whenever the sacrifices were offered, whenever the priests went about their duty, and so on and so on. These things were continually crying out to them. There were prophecies after prophecies telling them about it. And shadows and pictures and illustrations and types and allegories all the time crying out that God will send a deliverer. Messiah. Simeon was expecting it. Anna was expecting it. And lots of others were expecting it in Jerusalem. And they've been expecting it for a long time. And as we saw with Simeon, he saw this baby And he said, he saw, he understood by the Spirit of God that in this little baby was the fulfillment of all those prophecies. And Anna, this 84-year-old lady, long-time widow, remarkable woman, staying in the temple, she saw also in this little infant the fulfillment of all the prophecies. Well, I think she's worth listening to myself. These sorts of people aren't ten a penny, are they? I mean, they're quite remarkable, isn't it? No wonder Luke recorded it. No wonder the Spirit of God saw fit to record it. If we don't say anything else tonight. She's a challenge to me. Is she a challenge to you? Do you believe your Bible? Oh, of course you do. Well, did you really believe it? Are you hoping for it? Do you believe the promises? Well, of course you do, yes. Nobody doubts that, do they? Have you got this kind of expectancy that Simeon had and this old lady? And here she can see. Remarkably, she can see in a baby. A little infant, a few days old. A young mother there. Slightly older father, I should say. And she can see in this baby the fulfillment of Isaiah, Joel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. It's marvelous stuff, isn't it? I think it is anyway. And she went home and made herself a cup of tea and forgot all about it. That's what most people do. She started talking about it. And she talked to everybody. And we know what she said. There's a lovely little baby down there. You ought to see him. He's got lovely curly hair. He makes all these gurgly noises. This is what it says in my Bible. She spake of him to all them that looked for redemption. Is that a word very often in your vocabulary? Redemption. You're always talking about redemption. Most preachers aren't talking about redemption today, let alone old ladies. But she talks to all there who are looking for this, and she says, he's come. There he is there. Just like Simeon. Now, it's very warm tonight, so I'm not going to hold you here long. This merits a lot more than I'm going to say on it. But let me just point out one or two obvious things here. Look at the negatives here. I've already given you a little negative or two. Let's have a few more negatives. Look at what she did not talk about. She did not talk about her arthritis. Now, there's nothing wrong in talking about our arthritis. Quite a few of us have got it in one way or another, and it isn't very nice, I know. But that's not the burning issue for this woman, is it? It's redemption. She didn't talk about the temple. Now, I've seen Jews, you know. I've seen these Orthodox Jews outside the Wailing Wall, and I've seen them rubbing the stones and sticking bits of paper in there. I've seen it on film. I mean, I haven't actually seen it, but I've seen it on film. They're sticking bits of paper here, chanting. I don't know what they're chanting, but they're chanting something, scraping the wall. They can't get enough of it. It's all the wall, the temple. This woman didn't bother tuppence about that. It was redemption. you know, that temple must have been a magnificent building, all the gold and brass and I don't know what there. Think of the priests in their robes. Now, the other day, I don't know about you, but the other day, I happened to see a certain ceremony where a lady was wearing a dress which I think cost £100,000. And there were men and women dressed up there in all kinds of fancy robes, and there was stained glass about the place. Now the temple had that and much, much more. Not stained glass, but it had all that sort of stuff. But Anna wasn't interested in that. Come and see the dress that Megan wore. No. Come and see redemption. She didn't talk about the sacrifices and the music. Oh, the tremendous music. It was redemption she talked about. I wonder what she's talking about. Well, you've got to know your Old Testament, you see. Now, if you know your Old Testament, because this woman knew her Old Testament, if you know your Old Testament, you will know what she's talking about. Because redemption was something very important in Israel. Now, I'm not going to give you a lot of Greek tonight, although there's a lot of Greek behind this. I'm not going to give you a tremendous Bible study tonight, although there's a lot of Bible study behind it. There's a lot of doctrine here, I can assure you. I'm just going to give you some texts, just briefly, to show you what we're talking about. But what we are talking about is this. We are talking about the idea of slavery. And slaves belong to somebody else, and they're at their beck and call. What slavery must be like, I don't know, in a literal sense. It must be abominable. It must be indescribably bad. I don't know what it must be like. Now, redemption is this. Somebody pays a price to set you free. You see, the slave is an asset to the owner. He's bought him, and he's worth $10 or £5 or whatever it might be. And somebody says, I'll give you the £5, and he gives you the £5, and then he becomes the owner of that slave, and then he says, you can go free. That's redemption, a part of redemption. That's one picture of it. I can remember, I don't know how many years ago, it might be 40 or 50 years ago, I can't remember, 40 years ago was it? I remember seeing Roots. You remember Toby Kunta Kinte? Remember him? The African, he was all manacled up and shackled up, and he used to sit at night banging his chain. I remember him sitting there just knocking away at his chain with a stone. And one night he was doing it, bonk, and the chain broke. And he was free. I've seen films and pictures of nations like Holland, Dutch nation, liberated by the Allied troops. And the sense of exuberance and joy, we're free. We're free. Well, some of you were glad to be free of ration books, weren't you? Remember that? You couldn't buy sweets and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, paying the price. I've never done this, but some of you might. I don't think you have, but some of you might know people who've done it. Remember that chap who used to have a shop with three balls outside? Yeah? And if somebody was a bit short, as quite often they were a bit short, they'd go in a few days before payday, and they'd plonk a watch down on the counter, wouldn't they? And the chap would look at it, and he'd say £5. So I suppose he said about 10 bob, I expect. I don't know what he said. Anyway, he'd say something. And you'd say, okay. And he'd take the watch, and he'd give you the 10 bob, or whatever it was. Let's call it a pound, shall we? Yeah. For the sake of people who don't know what bobs are. Right, a pound. At the end of that, he also gave you a ticket. And at the end of the week, when your pay came, you went in and you put the ticket there on the counter, you put a pound down and you put something else down as well, a bit extra. And he gave you the watch back. You had redeemed it. Huh? And when you came out of the shop, you could say, "That's mine. I redeemed you." If you didn't redeem it, it was his. And he sold it for more money than he gave you. This is the idea, though, redemption. Slavery. Bondage. The idea of buying into possession. Paying a price to set free. Let me just give you a few texts. Just a few texts. I know it's very hot and I won't detain you. Let me just read some texts to you. Let me read Psalm 111. You need to turn it up. I'll just read it to you. Psalm 111 verse 9, I think. God sent redemption unto his people. That takes us back to Egypt and Moses, the Passover, the Israelites building pyramids, making bricks without straw. And God sets them free. Let my people go. He sent redemption unto his people. Anna knew that text. She knew it was a picture. She knew about the Passover. She knew about the emancipation, the liberty, the freedom, the liberation that came to Israel from Egypt. Psalm 130, verse 7. I think this is another text here. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Come back now to our passage. Anna talks about redemption. But you've got it in chapter 1 and verse 68. This is when the Zacharias is singing his song at the birth of John the Baptist. And this is what he says. Blessed be the God of Israel, Luke 1:68, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He could see in John the Baptist the forerunner of the Messiah who would redeem, liberate his people. And this is what's going on here with Anna and with Simeon. They're looking for this consolation of Israel, this hope for Israel, this deliverance, this redemption. Now, what many of them expected, of course, what many of them expected was some military ruler, some political man with clout who would come and throw over the Romans. But if you remember, I don't know whether it was here or not, but when I started this series of discourses, one of the very early sermons I did in this discourse was to show what I've called the upside down nature of this kingdom. For this kingdom is not like any other kingdom that has ever existed. All other kingdoms, Roman Empire, British Empire, American Empire, Russian Empire, Chinese Empire, all that, they're all military powers, Japanese Empire. Look at the Japanese conquering in China, conquering throughout Southeast Asia, conquering in Pearl Harbor. Look at that, military might. The Roman Empire, military might. And this is what many of the Jews expected. They expected a deliverer who would have political and military power to overthrow the Romans. But the upside down nature of this kingdom is, instead of a prince being born in a palace, it's a king being born in a stable. Instead of lying in a nice bed in some palace in Herod's place, he's lying in a manger. And instead of becoming a mighty political military king, he is the meekest man who ever lived. And yet he is Emmanuel, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is this Redeemer. Now, of course, Anna only has her Old Testament to go on. So she is, as the New Testament tells us, she is seeing this dimly. I tell you that because 1 Peter 1 verses 10 to 12, if you look it up for yourself. These men of the past, even the angels, but the prophets themselves, they were all searching to find out what it was all about. They knew something was coming here, but they couldn't be absolutely sure what it was about. It took, according to the promise of Christ himself, the apostles, by the Spirit of God, to bring us into the full meaning and understanding of what we're talking about. I'm not talking about delivering the Israelites from Egypt. I'm not talking about delivering watches from the pawn shop. I'm not talking about throwing over the Romans. What am I talking about? What is this redemption that we're talking about? I'm just going to read a few scriptures to you, my friend. This is what Anna is talking about. This is what the Bible means by redemption. This is Luke 24. The two on the Emmaus Road. And you remember, they're really sad and depressed. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you cast down?" They don't know it's Jesus, but they say it's after his resurrection, but they don't know him. And he said, "Well, why are you cast down?" He said, this is what they said: "We trusted, we had hoped, we really did believe that it had been he, this Jesus, we had believed that he should have redeemed Israel. We really hoped he was going to set us free. But they just crucified him. So it's all gone pear-shaped. Our world's fallen apart. We had hoped that he was going to be our Redeemer. And instead of being our Redeemer, they crucified him." What they did not understand, but Christ immediately told them. What did he tell them? "Don't you understand that this is the way I do redeem Israel? This is not my defeat. This is what my kingdom is about. This cross is not my weakness, it is my strength. This is not my end, this is my beginning. This is not the finish of it, this is the start of it." He said to them, "Oh fool, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ the Messiah to have suffered all these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. It's beginning now. Anna's had a glimpse of it. Tremendous glimpse, I think. And she begins to speak about it. This is the Redeemer. This baby is the actual redemption. And I don't suppose she lived to see it. No, I'm sure she didn't. She would have been dead by this time. But actually, within a few years of this, 30 years of this, this Messiah, this baby, a grown man, would, hanging on the cross, accomplish that glorious redemption. So let me have some scriptures for you. Acts 20, verse 28. You hear the words coming now. Now these now are showing the New Testament, the New Covenant, gospel interpretation of what we're talking about. This is the redemption that we're talking about. Acts 20 and verse 28. "Take heed there." This is heed therefore. This is Paul speaking to the elders of Ephesus, the church there, and he's speaking to them at Miletus, and he's speaking to them. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God." Now listen to it, here it is, "which the church of God, which he hath purchased," bought, "with his own blood. How would this baby redeem his people? How would he set them free? By shedding his blood. That is the price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. I'm only giving you a sample of text. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. Or read just verse 20. You are bought with a price. Writing to believers. What does Paul say to them? You are redeemed. You have been set free. Brother, sister, you have been set free. You have been released from bondage. You have been released from slavery. And you were bought at a price. And the price, as we've seen, is nothing less than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23. You are bought with a price. Hang on, he's saying it twice. Yeah, he never gets tired of saying it. He's like Anna. He talks about it all the time. Apparently it's important to this man. With anybody who knows he's been a slave and been set free, it is important. I guarantee if I lived under Nazi jackboots, I'd be talking about freedom now to this very day, I tell you. Galatians 3, verses 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us, talking to believers, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So what was the price? To get me out from under the law, what did he do? He went under the law. To get me out from the wrath of God, what did he do? He went under the wrath of God for me. In my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Let me remind you of what you often sing in December. This is the words, Charles Wesley's words. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our sins and fears release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all thy saints thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. And so on and so on. Come thou long expected Jesus. Anna saw him. Born to set thy people free. You see, my friend, I'll talk about myself. I was born a slave. Oh, well, my father was a free man. No, no, he was a slave too. That's why I was a slave. I was a slave to death. From the moment I was conceived, from the moment I came into the world, I was on the road to death. And I'm 78 years closer to it now than I was then. And it's no good balking the facts. And you can do what you like, you can't shake it off. I can't. I say myself, you are the same. The moment you're born, you're on the road to death. You're in bondage to it. Not only that, I was a slave to sin. My father didn't teach me how to sin. He did all he could to stop me. But he couldn't even stop himself. George Washington may say, oh, I never told a lie. Well, he just did. We can't stop it, my friend. We can't break free of it. People can say what they like about it. Call it any name you like. Cover it up with euphemisms, but it's still there. And we're in bondage to law. What do you mean? Well, you talk to anybody. Let's go down to the pub now and talk to them. The first thing they'll tell me when I start to talk the gospel, I do my best. Do. I'll say, do. They're always doing something. They're an absolute hock to it. And it never works. Does it? How can we get right with God? This is the slavery that we're talking about. I'm not talking about Egyptian slavery. I'm not talking about Israeli slavery under the Romans, no. Not even Nazi slavery. Not even the pawn shop. No, I'm talking about my relationship to sin, death and the law. And I can't break free of it. I'm under the curse of God. I'm born under the wrath of God. And however unpopular it may be to say it, the day of judgment is coming. This afternoon we were taking a Bible study at Dorothea in Bedford. And what was it? Romans 2. Read Romans 2 for yourself and see when you get home. You'll see what I'm talking about. The friends down there this afternoon, we were talking about the wrath of God and we were talking about the judgment of God. On a Sunday afternoon like this. So that's what it says in the Bible there. And as I said to them before we finished, we've got to go through this dark passage until we come to the explosion, which we will get in Romans chapter 3, of the grace of God in the gospel. But this has to be gone through. We have to understand that we need a redeemer. Galatians 4:4-5. I must stop. Because you are sons, God has redeemed us under the law. To redeem them that are under the law. Jesus went under the law to redeem them that were under the law. I've got other texts. Ephesians 1, Titus 2. They'll be singing of it in heaven. Brother and sister, do you know what you're saying? Perhaps I'll read that to you. This is what you'll be singing one day in heaven, in glory. And they sung a new song. Okay, I'll read the hymn sheet out for you. Listen. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and people." Listen, can you hear Anna now singing it? You listening? You can just catch it if you listen. She talked about it when she was in the temple. And I don't understand my Bible, the spirits of just men made perfect. They're not doing nothing. And I know what's occupying them. Thou hast redeemed us. How about Charles Wesley again? I won't keep it. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Whatever does this mean? My friend, if ever it's occurred to you, if ever God has shown you that you are a poor slave of sin and need a redeemer, then listen to Anna. This baby, this Jesus, this Messiah is the redeemer. And he's the only redeemer. Muhammad can't redeem. Buddhas can't redeem. Philosophers can't redeem. And we can't redeem ourselves. We need someone to buy us back and pay the price. And that blood has been shed, which is the price. And all who trust the merits of that blood shed, all who rely upon that redemption price, are set free. He sets the prisoner free. My Jesus, I love thee. My gracious Redeemer is Christ, your Redeemer, my friend. Have you trusted him? Or do you think it's a load of eyewash? Or do you think you can get there yourself? Because you can't. Anna had it right. Now, you've had two preachers tonight, me a rambling old man, but if you listen to Anna, she talked to everybody who would listen, and she talked to them about that child, and she said, there he is. There is the Redeemer. There's the redemption. Look at him. Trust him. Go for him. He's the one. If you don't listen to me, will you listen to her, my friend? She being dead, may she yet speak to us all. And may we listen. Amen. Amen.